Hello, and welcome to Millennial 2017, number 60. And this is with, I'll try to pronounce this correctly, Monoculturi FM. But I'll let them introduce themselves. Hello, Tina and Jonas.
Well, hi. So I am Tina Wieg. I'm a nationalist activist from Finland, and on Twitter and on my English YouTube channel, I am also known as the Swan of Tuonela.
Yeah, I'm Junes Lokka. I'm a councilman in Oulu, Finland. Monoculture is basically a podcast project that we started 1 year ago, or actually, is it 2 years? Something like that. And we are four doing it. You might remember Tuukka from October when we met in Rotterdam.
Oh yes. Sorry, I remember Tuukka very well. Yeah.
He wanted to come, but he couldn't make it because he has other stuff to do today for some reason. But it would have been interesting to talk that we all would be together. Because I noticed that yesterday you published a DNA test result, and you are only 90.2%, while Tuukka is 99.8% Finnish. And 0.2 Northern European. So
Wow.
we probably need to end this stream now.
Yeah, we can't be friends with you anymore. You're too
No, I was very pleased with that result. I was surprised, but it was good.
Yeah, but you can tell immediately that you have some Southern European in you. It's the hair. It's always a tell.
Yes, well, see, I don't. It could be because the Scots are related somehow to the Spanish, like the Iberians. So maybe I don't know. But yeah, I think my face looks kind of Italianish, honestly.
Yeah, it does. You have that sort of a Mediterranean look about you, in a way. Not like fully, but to some extent.
Well, apparently it's only 7%. I mean, I was surprised. I don't understand it either. I mean, a lot of people were offended. I didn't, because there are people in the comments underneath it saying that I shouldn't have been rude about the Italians. I didn't mean to be. I've got nothing against the Italians, and I said that several times. It's just that I identify as Northwestern European, so it was nice to see that matched up with my DNA. That's all. For heaven's sake. I understand why they took it personally, but I certainly didn't mean to insult the Mediterraneans or anything like that.
Yeah,
But I might put out a special video saying
there's one saying that the 23andMe video was fucking cringe, but no, I really enjoy your videos. You have a very special way of bringing the subject in slowly and in a very interesting way, and that's
Oh, thank you.
that's
I think what you tend to do is more live streaming, isn't it? You told me that Finland has an incredible, is it 3G network?
Well, 4G mostly that we use, but yeah, it's in Finland. Well, they are YouTubers, but mostly they do crap like makeup videos and some really uninteresting stuff. But in politics, it's mostly only us. There are the all these so-called SJWs. They have airtime on national TV, so they don't.
Is Finland more right wing than the rest of Europe? Because somebody said, I think it was Tuukka said something like that to me, that nationalism is still a thing in Finland.
Yeah, if you compare it to, say, other Nordic countries like Sweden or Norway, I think it really is. But if you compare it to, say, Estonia or Poland, then I think Finland is much more left wing and much more multicultural. But it's sort of divided that there is the majority populace who are pretty traditional, who want Finland to stay how it is and how it always has been. But there is this sort of green red elite who have a lot of power and who get a disproportionate amount of say on what sort of politics we are running. So at this moment, Finland is running an immigration policy which the majority of the people don't approve. For example, the city of Helsinki just approved a bill by which they will be extending health and social services to illegals too. And the majority of the population, over 80% of people, want illegals to be deported.
Yeah, that is just crazy. You know, I read something similar about America. Maybe it was just one state in America, but it's the same in Britain as well. You know, illegal immigrants shouldn't be entitled to anything at all. If anything, it should just be charities that are helping them out. And really, they should be helping them to get out of, to leave the country. It's just mad to give them healthcare.
Yeah, and it sends this really bad message for the entire country. And it's not our parliament members who are voting for this. It's only the Helsinki City Council, the council of the most leftist city in Finland. And they get to decide for something like this, which sends a completely wrong message to these developing countries these immigrants are coming from. Because immediately news like this will be used by the human smugglers who will use them as a sort of advertisement that even if you don't get an asylum in Finland, you will still get all of the services. Because that has happened before. For example, when our moron prime minister said that he would house asylum seekers in his own luxurious house near our hometown, the news about that spread like wildfire. And soon we had Iraqi asylum seekers who were asking, okay, where is my house from the prime minister? And then they were really disappointed when they didn't get their own houses because the news was exaggerated a lot. And then the prime minister even took back that promise. He didn't house a single asylum seeker in the end.
Well, this has been the case with a lot of... Yeah, this has been the case with a lot of celebrities. I think that in Britain, what's her name? Lily Allen... Bob Geldof, I think, what's his name, that 80s singer, the lefty, Billy Bragg. I think they all said, and more, but I can't remember their names now. They all said that they would do this, and as far as I know, not a single one of them has done it. It's just so pathetic. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, and these promises in general, and this empathy that leads to rushed decisions, it's so destructive for us all. And in the end, it turned out that it wasn't even the prime minister who had made the decision to say that, okay, I will house asylum seekers. It was his wife. So a housewife got to make a decision which led to thousands of asylum seekers coming to Finland and the Finnish taxpayer having to pay for them. So this is a prime example of how this rushed empathy of left-wingers causes damage to us all.
Certainly. Somebody pointed out that also J.K. Rowling said she would house refugees. I'm amazed I forgot her because she's probably the worst. She's probably the sort of epitome of the champagne socialist in Britain. I can't think of anyone worse than her except possibly Emma Thompson. But anyway, yeah, of course, it's this outpouring of empathy. My previous guests in Austria were saying the same thing, that people, white people, are desperate to be caring and generous and, you know, kind to needy people, to vulnerable people. And maybe it's because the state takes care of the poor and the homeless so much nowadays that we just forget about it. And then suddenly when there's an opportunity to be caring towards somebody, people, we leap at it, or the lefties do, because they don't, I mean, they don't care about the homeless and the poor in their own countries. But suddenly you've got all these brown and black people coming up and, you know, it's completely irrational that this assumption that they need our help, that they are like little children, really. And so then you get the delusion that they are, most of them are children, you know, when it's blatantly obvious that they're fighting age men. You couldn't make it up. It's like a surreal comedy.
Yeah, and in Finland, we had some of these refugees welcome people in 2015 when this bigger wave of migrants came. And for example, one woman said that she would greet each and every asylum seeker in her hometown with cinnamon buns and hugs. And in the end, that woman's teenage daughter got molested by the asylum seekers. And she had to move out of the city because her daughter was too afraid to move out after that, move outside of their home after that. So that's it didn't amazing. End well.
No, that's amazing. I wonder if she has changed her political views now.
Well, that's maybe one thing that at first they want to help, but then some of them notice that they have been fooled. But when they notice this, they sort of disappear from the public discussion.
Yeah, but they are embarrassed about having been so wrong.
So it's very difficult to say if they ever learn anything or what is how are they working?
Yeah, and I guess also that if they were to change their mind and start talking, you know, start saying that we've got to stop the immigration, then the left could accuse them of using their own misfortune for political reasons, like for political ends. They could the left could accuse them of exploiting their misfortune.
Yeah, and in the end, you can understand why it's difficult for them to admit that they've been so wrong, because these aren't that bad people. They are good people who are just misguided. They mean to do good. They want to improve the world and help people. And then it suddenly turns out that they actually have even blood on their hands, that this phenomenon they have been aiding has caused rapes, it has caused molestations, it has caused robberies, even murders, like here in Finland, and terrorism. So it must be shocking to a good person who only has had good intentions to realize that they have caused such damage. So of course it's difficult for them to admit that they've been so wrong.
Yeah.
So there's the big majority of people who either are good or they are morons, but mostly they are silent. But also then there's the raging left that whatever happens, they still keep on with their we must help, and okay, they are murders, okay, they are robberies, but so what? Finns do also this, so, and it's a very small proportion and so on. So they will, whatever happens, even if they themselves get raped, they will continue with their crazy ideology, I think, and that's something that it's a tragedy, but it's also fun to fight, and that's probably the reason why the movements that you also talk about, and many the rise of the new right and so on. So why there are so many people who are so passionate about this? To fight against this madness that is that we are seeing.
Yeah, I think it would be good to talk about your own channel and what you do in order to fight against this.
Well, we have many. First of all, we talked about Monokulturi, which is a project we started 2 years ago, I think, and. So it's like this hangout every Wednesday at 7 p.m. in which we take news articles and we discuss them in a sarcastic way and make fun. So that it's a very good way to make people understand, because okay, you can either be angry at the things, or you can laugh at them, and which brings more people to support you. Then my personal channel, I started 5 years ago. My first video was a political commercial for the elections 5 years ago. And then I gathered anything that I thought that would be good to publish. I've made some mistakes, but then this summer they removed my channel. YouTube removed my channel. I had gathered about 5,000 subscribers, and I lost a lot of subtitled videos and lots of interesting phone calls and so on. I have some of it on some hard drives, but I'm not all. And then I created a new one, which has, I think, almost 2,000 now in a few months. Then she has, you have two channels, a Finnish and then an English speaking one, in which we, you can explain your own.
Yeah, so I'm a sort of a latecomer in this scene. Like Younes has been hate speaking for, what is it, 6 years, 8 years?
Yeah, 2011, no, 2008, it's, I think I started. So
yeah, it's almost nine years.
Wow.
And I've only been at this for a couple of years. So for me, I started my Finnish blog in early 2016. And then these guys from Monokulttuuri FM asked me to be their guest on their podcast. I said yes, and then I sort of stuck in there and became a regular member of the team. And then that's how I met Younes, and that's how we started going out together. And we actually got engaged on Christmas Eve. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And then we do all these projects together. We go to nationalist events. We have been to the Identitarian Ideas in Stockholm. And as you know, we were at the Erkenbrand, the new Golden Age conference in Rotterdam. And we film a lot of, or live stream a lot of events over here in Finland.
Yeah, it's the same Stockholm event that you were in February.
And Younes, of course, is in the city council over here in our hometown, which is the largest city in northern Finland. And I am his vice city councilwoman.
Yeah, and that's one point that many YouTubers, English-speaking YouTubers, they for some reason they do not want to enter politics. If you look at, for example, Sagan of Akkad or yourself, you have such great audiences. I'm not saying that you have anything in common, but and basically, I don't know how you can be a candidate in Scotland or in the UK or so, but it would be a very good idea to just take the votes. And basically, any YouTuber is more intelligent than a politician, so you would be much more popular, and it doesn't require work. You just keep on doing what you do on YouTube, and, you get inside the system, and you can talk about it, and it's something that I can see in the future that many people, any YouTuber, can debate a politician very easily and crush his arguments.
I think so. I mean, for my own part, I don't think I would be very good at politics. I don't think I would be good in that environment of the political world in Britain. But I do think that other people will in the future do that. I think that you're going to start seeing YouTubers starting thinking from the beginning that their channel is really a springboard into politics. I think that will, it maybe already has happened. But if not, then I think it will happen, and it will be nationalists as well.
Yeah, and I really hope that it will happen, because there are a lot of people who are so smart and eloquent, and they have a lot of good ideas. They have a lot of support already with their channels and their blogs and social media accounts, so it would be so easy for them to make that leap.
Yeah, it's a similar thing, really, because you are on YouTube. You do present ideas and debate other people, so it's not that. I suppose I could see how that would translate into the political world.
Yeah, and if we only stay on YouTube and on social media and on online forums, then we still stay in this bubble of our own. There is no contact to the actual political decision making, and that should always be there. And I understand that in some countries, for example, in USA, it's a bit difficult with the two-party system. And it's hard for actual nationalists to get a niche in there. And but for example, in Finland, we have a decent nationalist party in the Finns Party. And in Netherlands and in Austria, the Freedom Party, AfD in Germany. So there are parties for people like this in Europe.
Yeah, and now it's currently it's the presidential election in Finland. The voting day is in January the 28th. So we can influence people. We can recommend a certain candidate, just like they did with Trump. Many YouTubers talked about Trump, and I'm not saying that that changed the vote, but it's also a way of...
It definitely had some effect. It must have had some effect on the Trump election.
Yeah, it was a great victory. But, So...
One thing I would say is that in Britain, I don't think that there are political parties. I don't think the political culture or even the wider society in general is ready for ethno-nationalism. I think, or an ethno-nationalist party. I think we're years away from that. I think for now, this is why I always say that we have to work in the culture and changing that and injecting these ideas into the public space, because I mean, the political climate today, they would just destroy any politician who was going for that kind of thing.
Yes, but we also need that political front, because if we don't do anything on that front, this problem will get too bad before we get that cultural change done. So it's good if it's possible that there are politicians who drive this tighter immigration policy. And these changes that will slow down the deterioration of our society so that we can buy enough time to create that cultural change. But yes, it's the minds of the Western people that need to change the most. That if we change that, we don't need to fight any other wars with this. It's done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It absolutely. It's something that, and I think that once it's done, people will understand they'll understand the importance of, well, ethno-nationalism. They'll understand the importance of closing the borders. And I don't think we'll make the same mistake again for centuries and centuries.
But it's such a tragedy that that's the UK lost so many years. If you look at, for example, Enoch Powell's speech, Rivers of Blood, in 1968, he was very popular, but yeah, for some reason they shut him down. And then, like for 20 years, just nobody...
Well, longer than that. It's like 40 years, really. You know, I think it really changed. It made mass immigration basically undiscussable in Britain for that length of time. But of course, it's not that... The thing is that his speech was not that outrageous. If you listen to it now, there's nothing that controversial in it. The establishment chose to make it very, very controversial. The establishment chose to use that to shut down debate forever. Well, for 40 years. as it happens, the stuff he said in that speech he didn't go far enough. You know, the reality has... outpaced even the things he said in that speech. So, you know, he could have used even stronger language than he did, but he didn't. And this is the thing, as I say, it really wasn't that outrageous, but the establishment made it that outrageous because they wanted to shut down that issue completely, and they did.
Yeah, and they shut down the debate, and now that the situation is almost unrecoverable. Now they let you speak, or now they let you, well, since we have YouTube, we can speak, but or even news outlets like the Daily Mail, or they can speak freely, pretty freely about the problems. The same was in Finland. We opened the borders in the 90s, in 1990. And for maybe 15 years, it was completely impossible to speak about this problem. but nowadays you can talk about it more freely. But it's also like, it's if you look at Helsinki, there's 14 or 15% that of the inhabitants that are foreign speakers, and if you look at the newborns, it's almost 19%. So one in five, after having opened the borders for what, 27 years, so it happens very fast. And if you look at the latest Pew Research publication about the Muslim the proportion of Muslims in 2050, it would be like 15% in Finland, in whole of Finland, and to that you must add the non-Muslims. So it's a very, and in Sweden it would be 30%. So every third guy would be.
That's incredible, and I suspect that they're undercounting this, because there are all the illegal immigrants. I don't know if that was factored in, but to be honest, 2050, just, I don't know, that seems too far off. I think from what I saw of Sweden, I would think that a third of them will be definitely non-native within, you know, well before 2050. I would have thought, just by from seeing Stockholm at least.
Yeah, of course, Stockholm is it's a particular case, but you have to imagine the whole country. Stockholm even now has probably 30% of its inhabitants that are foreign born. Or if you remember Rotterdam, it was even worse.
Oh God, yeah.
it was very. We had a fun time there. I felt very, very bad for the guy who housed us there.
Yeah.
I wanted to send him a Christmas postcard to say, I'm so sorry for your country. But
yeah, because it really was terrible. Because even though I'm a person who follows news about this issue, I know the statistics about immigration. It was still pretty shocking to see, for example, Rinkeby in Stockholm, how it is, or how Rotterdam was, going outside the door and not seeing a single white person, not seeing a single normal grocery store, all these ethnic stores, no, like, there was nothing Dutch about the people in there. Like, the architecture was sort of Dutch, but
yeah, and remember,
had no connection to it.
Yeah, I don't know if you were there when I went into a takeaway with some of your friends, and it was a Muslim guy who, and two other Muslim guys came in, and they said something about us, like cancer mensch. Like they said that we were cancer.
I think he said kanker mensch. I was with Tuukka, and that's I'm pretty sure that that's what they said.
Cancer people. And,
That's just. I remember thinking at the time that we weren't welcome in that place, and then after we'd left, I heard that the people, the Muslims, had said that about us, like that we were cancer. Fuck.
Yeah, and even on our way to Netherlands, so we stopped at a gas station in Germany, and there was one parking spot that had the letter F on it. And we were wondering what that F on that parking spot means. And then it turned out from a local person that it's for women, female. That it means that it's a parking space for women, that it's close to the door of the gas station, so that it's safer for women to park there, so that they won't have to walk that far in the gas station yard. So that was pretty shocking to me.
See, yeah, that's an example of a very small way in which multiculturalism just changes a society completely. I mean, I can imagine a leftist saying, well, why are you moaning about this small thing? It's nothing. It's nothing to get excited about. But the fact is that it's one tiny way in which our way of life has to change. And that's forever as well. It's not like for the next 5 years that we'll need special provisions for women at gas stations. It's going to be forever.
Yeah, and seeing all these, seeing how the situation is in different places in Europe, it's very clear that there needs to be some sort of a shared Western solution to this. Because let's say us Finns, we close the borders now. We could have pretty white population for a very, very long time and have no internal problems. But how would we live in a Europe if the rest of the European countries would turn to shit, basically? That we would have a neighboring Sweden with half of its population Muslims, Germany with half of its population Muslims. Like, how would we succeed in a Europe like that? So there needs to be a shared solution that European nations need to come together to solve this problem.
Yeah, and also another problem with that would be that one country, this is what's happening now, you know, each European country just tries to dump migrants into another European country so that they don't end up with the burden of looking after these low IQ Somalians and so on. And I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's like each of these European countries is betraying the others by trying to get rid of their migrants. And that's just ridiculous. That's a terrible situation. But what I think will happen, I don't think it will be a sort of orchestrated political thing, and at least not at first. I think that what will happen is that individual countries will have to do some pretty controversial things, like just tell all their migrants, right, you're leaving, large numbers of them, and get rid of them. And then other countries will be outraged by that, and then a huge debate will have to happen. Or maybe there won't even be time for a debate after that's happened. You know, maybe the civil unrest will start all over the place. I don't think, you know, if you were to get all the European countries together just right now, today, they would not agree to solve this problem. But I think things have to get quite a bit worse, and then they'll be desperate to solve the problem. And I think they will probably cooperate with each other. I hope so, because as you say, it's we have to.
Yeah, it's kind of paradoxical, the situation. We have the European Union, which should be or is supposed to bring more cooperation, but in reality, the only thing that is happening is that Brussels pays countries, for example, Italy, to house these migrants. The Italians take the money, and then they just send them towards the north, and then they end up in France, and then either in Calais, or then they go to Germany, or from there to Sweden. And when Sweden took 160,000, they sent us 32,000. And many people talk about 2015 as it was the starting point, but no, okay, the numbers were a bit higher than they had been previously, but also in 2014 or 13 or even before, there were massive amounts of people that were traveling over the Mediterranean, and it's still going on. I mean, there's people coming to Italy, Greece, and Spain. Not so much anymore on those countries, but Italy. I'm not sure how many, but I think it's like 60,000 or 100,000 this year alone to Italy that have come, and it's they talk about the Syrian war. Well, okay, so why do these people come from Africa then? Are they victims? Yes, but they are looking for a better life. Okay, but so why are they talking about asylum? So it makes no sense. And this is why we need some good politicians that know the subject of immigration and can tackle any argument of the left or even non-left, because for some reason, all the parties in Finland except one are for this madness. And they always whine about, yeah, you are racist, you are... Fuck you, I'm not racist. And even if I was, so what? This is a democracy. We have the right to do what we want to do. And I think it's more important to keep the country normal than to let the country die and say, but I was not racist.
yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's these are quite obvious things, but it's I think very important to make, to notify people in every country that we are awake in Finland, that if we look at Sweden, we could see that, okay, Sweden, basically they are all cocks or they are all idiots. But if you look at YouTube, you can see that there are some people who are fighting also against this. And so in every country in Europe, there are people who are sane, who are not what they try to picture us like neo-Nazis. And this thing that, yeah, you are Nazis, you're Nazis, I've never understood it. But I think the thing is that there are lots of people who really read the newspapers and believe in them. And so they read that you're a Nazi, and then they... And because lots of people, they have other things to do. They don't want to take part in the debate. They just want to go on with their lives and do some normal stuff. And they don't want to think of... or even politics, but there's maybe 50% of the people who even care to vote. And out of these 50%, some are completely retarded and so on. So that's why we have the parliament that we have currently in Finland and in other countries.
Yes, indeed. This is a matter of, we have to be louder than the mainstream media. You know, we have to grow our numbers to that extent so that they cannot just misrepresent us anymore.
Yeah, so it's important that there's that everybody who can really does something. Because if one politician was the solution, then everybody would vote for him. For example, let's say in the Netherlands, look at Geert Wilders. Well, he's sort of perfect, but still he doesn't attract enough people to get the percentages high enough that he can really do what he wants to do. Or in Finland, we have an MEP that is really high class called Jussi Halla-aho. If he was enough, then everybody would vote for him. But some people like different styles. So that's why we need, even if you are not completely agreeing on every topics with some guys that are talking on YouTube, or as long as this one thing is agreed upon, then it's okay. The other stuff, we can deal with it later, I think.
Yes, this is the key issue now, here and now, and everything else really has to wait. But anyway, we've got to cut this one short, I'm afraid.
I
said at the start.
I heard you have a Romanian guy. I understand that you are not, but I sort of enjoy lots of his videos, even if I do not agree on this horseshoe theory and so on.
Nobody does.
And the trolling thing, but I find it very amusing. The first time I heard V was when he did This Week in Stupid for Sargon, and I loved the accent. And
yeah, his accent is very distinctive. You recognize his voice.
And he has good stuff, but of course we will be watching your discussion with him.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, so that was what's that called? Monoculturi FM, and the Swan of Tunella.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you very much for appearing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. This was really fun.
Okay. And thank you to everyone for listening. I'll be back in about 10 or 15 minutes. So I'll see you then. Bye-bye.